ages combos. We gon' show you how the world goes. Ages combos. We gon' show you how the world goes. Ages combos. We gon' show you how the world goes.
Take a look at the world we living in, it's falling apart. Wanna put the glass, muscle and guns, but don't show hard. Time to spark a conversation, let that be a lesson. Speak the truth in the booth, call it confession. Chains of oppression links us together. Any stormy weather, red, blue, black or white, we can do better. It's AG combos, pay attention. Make links, break chains, yeah, that's the mission. I said, yeah, that's the mission.
AG's combos, we gon' show you how the world goes. AG's combos, we gon' show you how the world goes.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to AG's Combos. It's me, AG. We are back in the GB Entertainment Studio with Mr. Kenny Schmidt.
What up, doe?
What's happening, man?
Nothing much, brother. Yeah. You know.
Happy Wednesday.
Yes, sir. Sunny.
Yeah, it was
sunshining.
Hot.
Yeah,
man, I was sweating today. But I was actually indoors most of the time, but I was
I was sweating. Too. I was at work, so yeah. I was AC'd up, but yeah. When I did go out there, I was like, oh my God, it's scorching.
Right. Hey, it's Wednesday. It's that time of the month. I don't mean that in a, you know, negative way. You'll understand why I said that in a minute. But once a month, we do have a Links Not Chains board meeting here. And when we have that meeting, there's going to be some board members in the building. And because Denise is always on time and ready to go, she gets to sit in more often than she probably wants to.
I love it.
Thank you.
So Denise is back in the building. Hello, madam.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
I am well, thank you. And you?
I am doing
very
fantastic.
Formal today.
Yeah, madam. Well, we'll get into why. There's a purpose for that. Madam, ma'am, lady, he, she, whatever.
Whatever.
How was your week? How was your week?
Good. Busy. Really busy. Lots going on right now at work.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good, and it's sunny, so that's a good reason to leave work.
Yeah,
right.
Get out of there. Yeah. I'm trying to get out of there.
Yeah, I know. We back.
Days are longer, though, so that's always a good thing.
I love it.
I woke up, what was that, Tuesday morning, and I'm like, it's 5:55. I opened my eyes, and it was daylight outside.
Right.
And I'm like, hold on now. It's 5:55. I shouldn't be seeing the sun. I'm not even the sun, but like it looked like morning already.
But the crazy thing is we've already sprung forward, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So next month is the longest day of the year.
Yeah.
In June.
But it's just crazy to think that it's already, since we've already sprung forward, that means that had we not, that would have been 4:55 in the morning.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Really, yeah.
It's crazy
that early
to
in the
think
morning.
That it would have been that bright that early.
I looked in my phone because I was like, am I late for work? Because I don't wake up to 6:30.
Right.
So I'm looking at my phone like, am I late? Because it was getting light at 7.
Yeah.
So that's how I was like equating, like, all right, I need to get up out of bed. Mind you, I got to be to work at 7:30.
Yeah, I was about to
and
say,
I
wait
get
a
up
minute.
At 7.
Run out the door.
So wait, is Tia taking herself now?
No, I still take her to work, but I come home and go back to sleep.
Oh, okay, you go back to sleep.
It's like 10 minutes to take her to work. So I'll 10 minutes there, 10 minutes back. I'm back in the bed. Laying down, sleep. But then when it's time to get back up, it's like that I don't want to get up mode, though. Like,
Why, man? You ain't getting lazy.
I'm snoozing all every, and you know, Apple give you like 8 minutes to snooze. So you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's 8 minutes ever.
I set like 4 or 5 hours. Because I love snooze. I can hit snooze for hours.
Yeah.
And then I like have dreams with snooze in it. And,
right.
But I really struggle in the winter because I'm driven by the sun to wake me up. So I have a sunrise clock that simulates sunrise.
Hmm.
And I said it's been busy at work, so I've been going to bed late and need to get up early. So I set it a couple days ago for like 4:30 in the morning. But pretty soon, I mean, I really don't have to because the sun is coming up early.
Yeah,
enough,
once the sun come up, it's
up.
Like, all right, it
unusual.
Is time to get up.
I'm
being lazy if the sun up and I'm laying in the bed still.
Well, the clock also, you can set it on different sounds to go with it. So I have it set on like a lake sound. So these frogs.
That's a pretty cool clock.
I went to Mexico at the end of January, just for a personal trip, and I forgot that I had left that on. So, like, all the week, frogs were, like, broken. And, yeah, it's okay.
Oh, okay. Well,
as long as it works. It wakes me up.
But, yeah, the days are getting longer, so I'm
it's
like,
exciting.
I get more time out of the day.
I love those late nights, though, with sun, sitting out
you're just
to, like, 11,
out,
12.
Yeah.
At night?
Yeah.
With sun?
Well, no, but I mean, it gets later.
Oh,
so
wait a minute.
I just mean, like, you're...
That strong? You said with sun?
Sorry. Oh, I wasn't clear.
He kind of opened the door, man.
Sorry, I know.
He said, at what time?
Certified blonde. I know, totally.
Let's get this correct now.
No. I mean, I'm completely different. The minute the sun kind of like creeps through the door, my eyes open up and I can't close them again.
Oh my God.
I'll lay there and I'll pretend like I'm asleep or I'll try to rest my eyes. But once the light has hit my brain, it's like it starts powering us. Clock in my head, and I just can't go back to
sleep.
You're
solar powered.
Yeah, I'm solar powered. I got the solar powered brain. There you go. The battery is on.
And once it's going, it's going. The brain is over with.
But at the same time, at night, when my head hit the pillow, I'm done.
Oh, yeah.
Like, done.
Over with.
Yeah, it's over with. So I try my best to get some sleep, but now with the sun coming up at the crack of whatever, it ain't even dawn no more. It's just the sun. The sun comes up before the. I don't know. It's ridiculous, but I'm up and at them. So, but I think that's just a part of who I've always been. You know, I'm an early
riser.
Get
more things done. So it's like you got all these hours in the day. People usually sleep. I remember when, in my younger days, I used to sleep to like 12 noon, sometimes 1. Friends knocking on my door or coming in the house. My mama let them in. They coming to my bedroom like, boy, you still asleep? Yeah, bro. I ain't got nothing to do.
That's that whole purpose thing. That was something. That's a different conversation.
Yeah, right.
That is a conversation we need to have about purpose.
I actually
had that conversation with a couple early 20-somethings, and I'm like, you know, you got to have a reason.
Right.
You got to have a reason to get up, or else you'll just lay there.
Just lay there.
You know?
Ain't got nothing to do. You just like, oh, I'm sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a part of today's generation, though.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of what I wanted to talk about today is today's generation. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of things that if you follow me on social media, you're very much aware of what's been the topic on my mind the last probably 3 to 4 days at least. And it wasn't something that I was thinking about talking about this time last week, but it's become so in your face, the issue of pop culture and how the generations are starting to shift. That I felt like we had to give it some credence, especially with this new Kendrick Lamar video.
Mm.
Now, anybody that hadn't seen it, you got to watch it in order to make sense of what I'm talking about. So I'll pause. Okay, you've probably seen it now. And it's like 8 minutes long. I paused for like an eighth of a second. It is one of the most interesting videos I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting.
But and I said this in one of my posts, there's so many layers to this video. There's so many things happening at the same time. There's so many messages. There's a message in every face. There's a message in every verse. There's a message in every expression on his face.
Yeah.
The fact that he starts this song off, not looking at the camera, but kind of looking into the distance.
Yeah.
You could tell he's talking to an audience that's not really there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it just kind of starts from there. And he's literally sitting there with his arm folded the whole time.
Yeah.
And there's a message in that. Body language experts will tell you there's a message in that body language that he's putting out there. He's very closed off and reserved before he gets going.
Mm-hmm.
But once he gets going, he gets going.
Yeah,
and he just kind of lays it all out there. And he's basically opening up his diary of his own circumstances, and he's reflecting them through different elements of pop culture. And it's the culture that I wanted to talk about because it's the culture that I think not only is he drawing on with this song, but that's playing into some of the other issues that I've been talking about this week, namely the Kehlani interview on The Morning Hustle.
Yeah.
Now, it might be hard to see the distinction between the two, but we're not talking about an interview in a music video. We're talking about culture, and we're talking about the expectation of hip-hop culture. Or even maybe call it black culture, inner city culture. I'm not really sure which culture we're referring to. But what it was, what it has become, and how the generations, when they shift, certain things happen that make them say, oops, I think I made a mistake.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to go back. I want you back. Mm-hmm. That's where this song comes from. And the reflections he had, OJ, Kanye, Smoye, Will Smith, I want you back. I might have messed up here. I might have made a big mistake in some of the silliness and some of the craziness and some of the expectations that I had back then. Now I want you to take me back. And then he goes into Kobe and he goes into
Nipsey.
And sometimes it's too late to come back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you better make sure you're doing what you need to do out the gate. So that's where the whole Kalani conversation comes into play, because there's a lot of generational differences between new culture and old culture.
Right.
So that's what I wanted to talk about. So now you get, you kind of see the setup? See where it's going? All right. So y'all have seen the video. I know y'all seen it because I made you watch it, because I wanted to make sure we could really make sense of this thing. So let's look at this in stages. All right. Let's talk about culture as we understood it in the days of OJ coming up, because he's kind of the oldest of the cultural icons reflected in this song. Do y'all remember OJ being the guy?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I actually, OJ Simpson was a little bit before my time of actually watching sports.
Probably, yeah. He was
so I didn't know exactly who it was, but by the time I did get to know OJ Simpson, he was doing movies. He was like a star in that element. And it was like, all right, who is this guy? And they're like, oh, that's OJ Simpson. He played football. And it's like, oh, okay. So I never knew him for football. It's kind of the movie star first. I mean, and then went back and found out all the other stuff.
I'm quite a bit older than both of you, as we've established. But I remember when he was big in football. And I remember when he started to transition, he used to be a spokesperson for Hertz. And he was running through the airport, and it was supposed to get his car. And it was kind of tying, it was watching him transition from what he was known for football, you know, doing that athletic thing, but moving him into more of a popular entertainment.
The entertainment. I'd never caught none of the football. I just caught entertainment. But I think,
But here's the thing about OJ that you may not have picked up on because you weren't paying attention, and that you were conscious of but may not have realized the impact that it had. OJ became a sensation. He was a global sensation, and he was an extremely narcissistic individual. This guy said, I am OJ, right? Remember in the People versus OJ special with Cuba Gooding Jr.? And on the story of OJ's song. Nobody was in the room when it happened, but it's been testimonially stated on the record. Is that a word? It's a word.
Sure.
That he literally said, you know, black people, you can't do certain things, OJ, because you're black. This is, you're going to be treated this way. Because you're black, you're going to be treated that way. And he said, I'm not black. I'm OJ. Like, I have a whole different persona in American culture. That's how I know I know that everything's going to be fine. Because he had literally separated himself from the culture 100%. Y'all don't know me. I don't know y'all. And within the culture, there's a lot of people that looked at him and said, dude, that's not what we do. That's not how the culture is reflected for us. But he had already
made up his mind.
Drew his line in the sand, I'm going to hang out with white people. I'm going to date a white girl. And the culture will eventually understand. And the culture said, nah, not necessarily. And then he goes through this process and he wins like he said he would. But the culture didn't really take him back. In comes the Kendrick song. And then that happens many, many times over in our society, in our culture. We see this constant, how do I get ahead?
And then you find that way, but it ain't the way.
But it ain't necessarily the way. And then when you finally do it and you get your esteem or whatever it is, now all of a sudden you're ready to kind of walk through the neighborhood with your flag of pride, and they're like, boo.
Yeah, it's over with. You left us long ago.
So you know, what do we end up seeing in that case, though? We see a lot of people say, okay, well, screw it then. I'll isolate myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'll become a part of that new culture.
Right.
But then that culture rejects you. Mm-hmm. And that becomes the catch 22.
Yeah.
OJ was cool until white people thought he did it too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't want to, they really thought he did it.
Mm-hmm.
There was black people that figured he did it.
Right.
But there was some that say whether he did it or not, he was one of us.
Yeah.
Right.
Now he's like, oh, I want to go back with them. Mm. Wasn't enough of them.
No.
For him to stay famous. So he kind of, you know, disappeared off into the distance. And that's the thing about culture. That's the thing about the youth making certain decisions. Because he was only in his, what, early 20s when that kind of happened? The Hurts, the football transition into Hurts.
Yes.
He was early 20s. From his early 20s to his mid-30s is when he had his football career. And then he transitioned, like you said, into, you know, pop culture and advertising and movies and everything else. So that's what I wanted to talk about. How the youth utilizes their popularity to make very controversial decisions that they ultimately regret at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we talked about this a little bit with Xavier.
Yeah.
You know, being conscious of the actions you take today and the impact it'll have on you tomorrow.
Tomorrow, exactly.
And now with the world we're living in and the way the culture is trying to, maybe you'll disagree with me, but I feel the culture is trying to merge with other cultures.
Yeah.
And there is a massive population of people that are like, that's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do that. That's why the Kid Cudis and the Kehlani's of the world feel like outcasts. What's the other guy's name? The devil.
Lil Nas X.
Yeah. Same thing. Now he's trying to come. I ain't gay. I wasn't really gay.
Yeah, I wasn't really
I was
gay.
Just acting. I was like, yeah, it's too late, bro. You know,
too late.
The culture probably won't take you back like they might have if you had just
even though he makes
rolled that way.
Amazing music. And that's crazy.
But again, that becomes the question. Like, what is it that the culture has accepted? What is it rejecting? What doesn't it want back? What won't it let go of? You know what I mean? It becomes this internal warfare that we're all kind of dealing with. And in my opinion, this kind of makes us look like fighters, you know, unstable individuals.
I think with our culture becoming one of the number, like our music becoming one of the number one genres in America, and the way that we have transitioned into that position, because it was rock and roll for so long,
mm-hmm.
and now all of a sudden everybody wants to listen to our culture's music,
mm-hmm.
All cultures, you know what I'm saying? But that's when it started getting to the point where you got your younger people who say, we all should just do this thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It don't matter.
Right.
Then you got your, like, us generation that be like, nah, maybe y'all should just stay over there in y'all stuff and we stay in our stuff. Or and it even goes down to even the Jack Harlows that, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
These people are, like, making big strides in hip-hop.
Right.
And they're of another color. And it's like, dude, we don't even get that. You know what I'm saying? There's so many of us talented out of here. We don't get that. You know what I'm saying? So that feud in itself, I think, kind of makes it draws a line in our culture switching over.
Right.
Like, with both lines being, like, the old and the new. Like, oh, my God. It's just...
And I think it plays back to, you know, a lot of these kids, like Xavier was saying, feeling like their parents just don't understand them.
Yeah.
You just don't get it, Mom. You don't get it, Dad. Now, this isn't nothing new. We've all done this. I remember when hip-hop came out on the scene.
Yeah.
They just didn't get it. And it blew up, and it still is what it's always been, and then some.
Yeah, and then some, right.
Right? But there's certain aspects of our youthful culture that really didn't stick around.
Didn't stick around.
Shouldn't have.
Right.
The old people won out. Mm-hmm. And I think in a lot of ways, this whole Kehlani situation
mm-hmm.
kind of reflects this extra step, not the step of being comfortable in yourself, but the step of demanding that certain people accept you in certain instances
mm-hmm.
that make people say, okay, you know, there's a line and you're kind of like teetering back and forth over it. Not everybody,
yeah.
but certain elements within certain cultures is going to say, don't push it.
Right.
And I think we're at a don't push it point with the issue of pronouns. Yeah. And that's why I wanted to talk about it. Because, again, we're not talking about human tolerance. We're talking about cultural sustainability.
Yeah.
At some point, the decision has to be made to embrace it or to reject it. And with instances like what we saw the other day, it's not creating a real clear opportunity for acceptance.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted you to come in, because I know this is a topic that gets a lot more attention in the world of corporate America and marketing because of the visual and the societal impact, the marketable impact of pronouns and tolerance and acceptability. And when you start talking about employment and some of these other rules and laws that are coming into play, these are not things that are going to go away, but they are going to have a massive impact on cultural tolerances, especially within that particular community. Mm-hmm. So what is your take on the issue of pronouns before I get too deep?
Me?
Yeah, you. Sure.
You know, I see some of this as generational evolution. So I think back that when I was in high school in the 80s, and I'm going to talk about sexuality and gender, but so in the 80s.
Wait, before you say that, you're going to talk about sexuality and gender.
Well, sort I want to talk about an evolution. So it's getting to your question.
But you're
about,
acknowledging that they're two separate things.
They are two separate things.
Okay, I just wanted to put that on the air. Okay.
But I do acknowledge that. But, you know, gender, I think that sexuality, what your sexual orientation was a bigger issue in the 80s because people weren't really coming out. There was this, the kind of gay pride movement was coming out, and of course AIDS was happening. And so there were a lot of things that were colliding that that elevated that discussion. So when the notion of gender and gender identity wasn't really talked about then, it wasn't highlighted, right? And sometimes, I mean, I think there can be a connection with those two things in that the way those communities are viewed. Mm-hmm. So in the 90s and the 2000s, you know, if you think about a lot of very well-known people, celebrities who came out, and again, I will say because of the AIDS movement and everything that was pushed around with that, whether someone was gay, I think people became more aware of that. Mm-hmm. And here we are in 2022, and certainly not everyone who is gay is accepted, or every community accepts it. And I'll speak only about the United States right now. We won't have to get into every country, but it is much more accepted than it was 40 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I just think about friends I had and what they went through. And just the terror of what they went through because they were gay and they were hidden. And it's very different now. So I think that that was this evolution that's happened. So while I do believe that sexual orientation is different than gender, I think there are some commonalities. And so I see this as the next thing that's evolving,
right.
Especially if, you know, the issue of the pronoun of they, and some people may say their pronouns are she, they. I understand that. You're giving me a look like we're going to talk about that some more. But and so I see this as an evolution.
Right.
And when you talk about there are things that we did when we were younger and we shed some of those things, I mean, I think when I see what young people are doing now, I mean, they're testing limits and they're trying new things, and some stuff is going to break through and stay, and other things will go away.
Right.
And there's that adage that as you get older, you get more conservative in your beliefs about a whole range of things. And I don't think that's true. I think that a lot of people kind of stop their evolution or taking on new beliefs, and the next generation is evolving. And so the prior generation seems like they're more conservative, but really they sort of stopped at some point.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to go away, for one, only because we live in this information age, and the way that everything is set up now, you can't really take nothing away anymore.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know how back in the day we can kind of, something can come about and it's just a trend or it's just a fad. That's what they used to say, it's a fad. But nowadays it's like we literally sit there and watch these videos and watch these famous people become, say things that usually wouldn't be said, and now you got all your fans feeling the same way. So it's like you're starting this whole
thing.
Well,
there's no room for error in life, right? I mean, people can't just be. They can't just live. They can't make a mistake. You're called out on everything you
do.
Something you did 20 years ago, I mean, you have no room for error in your life if you're in the spotlight or you put yourself in the spotlight.
That's right.
And I'm really grateful that social media wasn't around when I was growing up because I couldn't have survived.
I don't know if I could have survived either. I did a lot of crazy stuff when I was young.
That kind of gets to my point. It's around now.
Right.
So what's 25 years from now? It wasn't around 25 years ago like it is now.
Yeah.
What happens over the course of the next 20? If this is what we've evolved to, and this is the level of sensitivity we've evolved to, what does the next 25 years look like?
Who knows? I mean, it can be something different. I also think there's some exhaustion. You know, I have a young relative who is trying to learn their identity. Mm-hmm. And I try to empower them and support them. But I also hear them say this is exhausting because so when I was growing up, no one talked about anything.
Right.
Now, they are pressured to always have, what is your pronoun? How do you identify? What are you doing? It is excessive pressure in that way. So you're either completely suppressed and you can say nothing, but now you have to say everything and tell everyone where you're at. And if you change your mind, and when you're a teenager, I mean, so many things change.
So many things, right.
And now you have to declare your state of self, and then if you make a change, you have to give an explanation for why, and then you have people mad because you've changed. And I don't know which. I don't think I would want either of those.
Yeah, that's terrible. I wouldn't even want to be
especially
in the middle
when you're 13, 14 years old,
and you're just, you can't figure out anything anyway, right? Your body's all messed up, and your hormones are crazy.
And it's hard. It's harder for guys than girls. Like girls can kind of go back and forth, and it'll be like, all right, you'll get that pass. But a guy, like, nah, stay over there. If you're going to go over there, stay over there. Don't try to come back. Because now it's like, boy,
because
it's
hard. And I know you might not agree with them, but I kind of do. Because if a woman was to play on the other side of the fence.
So we're talking about sexual orientation.
We're talking sexual orientation.
Okay.
Orientation.
I just want to be clear.
Not gender.
Not
sexual orientation.
Okay. I just want to make sure I know.
But see here, and this is where the confusion comes in. I shouldn't say confusion. This is where the distinction comes in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Too many people associate their gender with their sexual prowess.
Yes. It's complex.
Yeah. It is complex.
And because for a long time, they were wrapped up together.
But the fact of the matter is, mm-hmm. when we're talking the gender as in the sexual orientation,
okay.
Can we all agree that all but a small fraction of humans walking this planet are born into one of two sexual orientations?
No.
No. Why do you disagree with it?
Because I disagree with it. because I see, because I don't think it's a small percentage, and I see sexual orientation as kind of almost like a bell curve. So there are people at the ends, and then
there are people
who kind of follow along.
You're right. Let me rephrase it. Because the reality of the situation is, historically speaking, it's always been labeled gender. What is your gender?
Right.
And it was male or female.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That was the gender question. When I say sexual orientation, that's probably not the, because we're talking.
Are you talking about who you're attracted? There's
no.
Who right. do you? Who are you attracted to, or who do you define yourself as? Like for a gender is what am I?
Gender. What am I? Self-identification.
Right. Sexual orientation is who do I want to be with?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. And that's why I said maybe I'm going about this wrong. Well, what I'm talking about is gender. But
gender.
But as we previously understood it, which was the chromosomes you were born with,
right.
male or female, okay? The majority of the world is either born with male chromosomes or female chromosomes. There are some outliers.
Yeah.
But that
very
is an
right.
extremely small percentage of the world. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
I don't have enough information to say whether I agree or disagree.
You don't have.
I don't. I think that there are, as we know more and more in science, I think that we learn more about what, where there are variations in chromosomes and different things that affect maybe gender or sense of gender.
Well, again, I'm just talking the physical body.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I don't know how often. I mean, I've certainly read about people who could have a mix of chromosome. Combinations.
Yeah,
so
there are people born with both genitalia. We know that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Or there are people who have both genitalia, but they don't know it. Like you.
Yes. Right. Which is a different story.
Or people who have them, and then their parents have to make a decision when they're born to select the gender for them. And sometimes
one or the other.
That's a guessing game sometimes, too.
Right.
And you're looking like.
No, this is a real thing. There are people born.
It's weird to talk about it like, wow, that is
that's a real thing.
Uncomfortable is good, though. It means you're.
I guess what we're talking about is the sex of the individual.
Yeah.
Not the sexual orientation of the individual, but the sex of the individual.
Right. What they identify as
the sex.
Identification, that's gender. See, this is where the conversation, this is the problem with the conversation.
Sex, they are male or female? What you saying when you say sex?
When you're, the sex of a human is male or female.
Male or female.
Right?
Male or female.
Sure.
Okay. 99% of the
time. I'm not going to give a percentage, but I'm going to roll with what you're saying so we can get you to the next point.
So the majority of the time, humans are born.
Denise thinks it's a lot of them out here.
She's a troublemaker. That's all that is.
It's a lot of them out here. Be you or no. It ain't 99.
Humans are born with the sex identification of male or female.
Yeah.
They may, over the course of the first 3 to 5 years, they may modify their sexual identity.
Mm-hmm.
Based on their interests and based on their feelings or whatever. And as they get older, they may choose
their sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I said identity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's.
We can parse words a lot. Keep going.
We're talking gender. We're talking about how the individual identifies themselves. But this is the problem because the fact of the matter is there's so many different elements that will utilize dialect and utilize word selection to justify arguments, which is, I don't see that as what you're doing, but that is why the conversation has become so complex and why certain generations of people are like, just leave me out of it.
Yeah.
You know, excuse me. You were, in the majority of cases, born with either the sex of a male or the sex of a female. How you choose to identify from that point forward is completely up to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you that. But what happened with this Kalani interview was it was seemingly that she took offense to how she had been labeled, despite giving permission to label her that way. Now, I have an issue with they. Not because I have an issue with somebody identifying as more than one gender at a time, which is why they use they, right?
Or not quite sure. Where you are.
Yeah. Apparently, there's 72 different gender identifications. Did you know that? 72. 72. That's a big
number.
Big number, dude. Big number. Big number.
Why would you even know that, bro?
Because I want to talk about that.
72 of them?
72. Right? 72.
How can you identify 72 different ways?
No. Some individuals don't know how to identify, so they are... What is it?
Non-binary.
There's like 3 or 4 different terms. Mm-hmm. But then there's some that identify as all of them, all 72, depending on the mood, depending on the environment they're in. So that's the thing. But this is personal self-identification. And if I'm more than one of anything, then I'm a bunch of different kind of people. So I'm they. To me, they is plural.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That is the big, and you know that I'm a grammar nut. That's a hard thing to change.
Both. It's very hard. It's very hard to tolerate. If somebody say, call me they. Unless you got multiple personality disorder, I only see one person.
Right.
I don't care who you choose to be. I don't care if you choose to be somebody different at different points in time, but you're still that person making that choice. I would prefer it just be me as opposed to they.
Yeah.
Whatever me is, that's just me.
That's me.
Right? That's not they talking. That's me talking.
Yeah. They want to be put in some type of group.
But why?
I don't know.
Why? And what kind of impact, what kind of long-term impact does this have?
Who cares?
We have to care.
I guess.
Because we're parents. Well, we. I have to care because right. I'm a
you
parent.
You and I are on our
y'all can care
we
less,
do
right?
What we want. Let's go. Right.
I was feeling her on that, like, who cares?
No, but,
you're
you
right.
Know, I'm a really devoted auntie.
Yeah, me too.
Yes.
So I get, now I get it once you said because us parents, then I was like, oh, yeah, okay, y'all. My
it's
bad.
A whole different, it's yeah, a whole different
I,
thing.
See, I see it. I understand what you're saying, but I see it as, with just like a little bit of a turn. And that is that for a long time, people couldn't say anything about their gender. I mean, people are, if they felt like they were not in the correct body or gendered. Mm-hmm. So I have never felt like I was not a woman. Right. Okay. That is like a core of who I am. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine not feeling that way. Right. How disorienting that must be. And so I try to understand that, have empathy for that, and can I make an adjustment to make someone feel that way?
Sure.
So I don't think that that...
But you're talking about courtesy, and you're talking about accepting or respecting an individual's right. individual decision.
Right.
To me, that's never negotiable. An individual should always be able to self-identify.
Yeah.
You're not taking it from me, and I'm not taking it from you.
Right.
That being said... That self-identification should not become a point of contention.
I agree. Well, I was just referencing my family member mm-hmm. who's a teenager, mm-hmm. and they're feeling all of this extra pressure.
Sure.
But, I mean, you also, I think there are pressures no matter what, but if there can be some freedom that if you don't feel like you are gendered as maybe you initially presented or were assigned, that there is some ability to make some shifts so that you are more correctly able to identify and share with people what that is. I would rather have that for any of my family members or friends, but I'm talking about a teenage family member right now, mm-hmm. than someone who could never had that option and was harming themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I see two things here. I think that, yes, it's very complex and it's new. I think that some of that will
settle.
It's going to settle. And it also, I mean, if people are only tuned in to social media and they're trying to read everything on there, I mean, it's just like every other topic. It's overwhelming and contradictory and yeah. annoying. And
right. And again, but it's in existence.
Right.
I'm not trying to dismiss its existence. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to understand its cultural impact,
yeah.
its societal long-term impact. Because there was a point in time when a kid was they identified as male or female because that's what they had been trained to believe
right.
they were.
Right.
And then they start to question that. And then they may choose to modify that identification. And their inner circle accepts it or rejects it, and that's the end of the conversation. They go on with their life, with their new identity. The people that gave them a hard time, they chose to either defend themselves against those people or ignore them altogether and move on with their life. Mm-hmm. We're at a point in time now when children are being demanded to identify themselves.
Yeah.
And they're being encouraged to join certain teams because those teams need more representation.
Yeah.
And they're being manipulated into believing that by not being confrontational or direct with I am who I am, because they understand that society, you know, wants them to consider an alternative, by not being that forward and direct in their definitive identity, well, now you've opened an opportunity. You've opened a door for me to challenge your lack of clarity.
Right.
So you feel like people are being recruited or groomed?
No, I feel like certain factions of the gender identity conversation are demanding more acceptability of the fact that they're different, regardless of what their individual differences yeah. are. Accept the fact that there are differences or else.
Right.
And there is no real clarity for URLs? That's the thing. There is no clarity for the URLs other than being outed or canceled, like Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
And Dave Chappelle is one of the vocalists that'll say, I don't have to tolerate your demands. I don't have to bow to your threats. Mm-hmm. I can continue to choose to identify whoever I want and to accept what I want and to reject what I don't.
Right.
But there is no real pathway for people to say, okay, I accept that.
Yeah.
And what's extremely hypocritical about that for me is I come to you and I say, are you a male or a female? And you say, I'm a male. Well, how do you know? Because I choose to be. Well, I don't accept that because you don't know that you're not something else because you've never allowed yourself to be that. Now I have to modify what I believe.
I think that's someone who's just wanting to fight.
Plenty of times it is. But it's also, in the case of the youth, it's someone who's wanting to push themselves. It's a bully tactic to some extent. But what's crazy to me is I'm supposed to accept that you're different, but you're not supposed to accept that I'm not.
Oh, absolutely. I think that part of the
hypocrisy.
Yeah, I think it's hypocritical, particularly people who are really liberal.
Mm-hmm.
So I am super liberal. Right. If you know me, you can probably tell. What is frustrating for me is that there is a standard where people who are liberal may criticize people who are very conservative and say, you require everyone to conform in this way. But I think the converse is true for people who are liberal, who are saying you have to accept all of this. You have to understand all of this. And you, again, you can never make a mistake.
Right.
You can never not know. You can never not have the answer.
Or use the wrong pronoun.
Or use the wrong pronoun. And I mean, there is a difference between a microaggression that people are intentionally using it to mm-hmm. hurt someone, right? Mm-hmm. And a mistake or a lack of knowledge.
Right.
And the difference is if someone corrects you, then you adjust your behavior in response to that. But you can't just
dismiss it.
Yeah.
You can't dismiss it. But you also, if I was a person who was misgendered, if Ken called me she and I wanted to go by the pronoun of he,
yeah,
and you didn't know that, I'm not going to hold that against you.
Right.
But if I said to you, you know, he is my pronoun, and then you kept saying she, and I corrected you a couple times, you kept doing, then I
man,
that is
like,
yeah,
are you,
you don't care.
You don't even care about
and,
what
and
I
And that's
said.
A different situation.
Yeah.
But I do think people are super sensitive.
I have to care?
I think it's a matter of respect.
Yeah.
I think a challenge
think
we have in our society
if,
is people
if they
don't respect
each something.
Other.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And respect goes both ways.
Right.
Right.
Which is what I was kind of alluding to. Right.
But he did his research, though, on that, though. He kind of
he
listened to an interview she had and found out some things about her and what she wanted to be known as. And what she so he kind of put a little spin on how he introduced her to be like, oh, are you fresh off that interview? I know you like to be called these names. Let me go ahead and give them to you.
Just put them out there.
And you take that as me mocking you because I've listened to it and I kind of honored your wishes. That was like weird. But also, as a star on her end, if I'm sitting there and I've been here for, I came early, usually when a star gets in the building, things start happening.
Yeah.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? It don't matter. Y'all not stars, y'all radio people. That's where the line gets crossed right there. Y'all just radio people.
And that's what
people
L'Oreal
hear your,
said. Right.
Hear your voice. But I'm in these streets. I'm the one that's making the music. I'm the one that's making the millions of dollars. So
I'm the face of your
when
product.
When I come
right.
into your building, I should be like, all right, well, you here early, we can start your segment early.
Right.
But instead, they did their pride thing and was like, oh, we do what we do. And
well,
she got
that's how syndication
time.
Worked. There's no getting around that.
Well, I mean,
there's more to it than just you're here, so we're going to.
Right. But if she doesn't know that and she doesn't understand that, then of course, as an artist, I'm going to come in pissed off because I'm like, y'all could have got around that. You know, people, stars feel like they can get around anything.
That's my point.
I saw that from my career marketing, right? So lots of media, crisis communications
right,
actually,
right,
I think
right.
plays into mm-hmm. this. But and just people who think
just get they deserve everything. I just deserve anything.
I just saw that as someone who was pissed off that she was there and she wanted different treatment, and then she was like in kind of a mood. And so clearly when you watch that interview, there was no engagement, right? That, no. That's a nightmare interview.
Nightmare.
But there has to be some follow-up or response. You know that it's going to turn into a conversation on social media because everything does. Right. And so her people, their people, because she's a she-they person. Mm-hmm.
That, so wait a minute. She could be a she but not a her? Because you said her people. Why
I
would
said,
that
or
be?
They. I use both of her pronouns.
Her people, they people.
Their people. I use both of the pronouns. It doesn't bother me. You can use whichever one you want.
I'm going to call her Kalani. Kalani.
There just, you go.
That's,
exactly,
that's how I get around the pronoun
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
I'm going to call you by
your name.
But there's going to be pressure to, you're going to have to address this. Like, you were clearly terrible on that interview. Right. What can we say? Or it could have been decided that we're going to create some sort of drama in this interview ahead of time mm-hmm. so that we create some buzz. I mean, there are all sorts of things. Yeah. So I think it could have been a little bit of a crisis communication issue. How are we going to, you know, make up for the fact that you were terrible? Or how can we create some buzz? We want you to get some more.
Yeah, because once we seen the video and we seen how she was acting, a lot of people going to look at that video and be like, ugh, I don't like her personality. Right. I don't like who she was that day.
And her
messes with her. So my PR people going to be all over, like, how are we going to spin this?
Right.
Because this wasn't good.
And I guarantee, because of the way that went down, more people have watched that video and know about her than ever would have happened if it had been a straight interview.
So there was a win. Yeah. Right. There was a public social presence win.
Yeah.
But to what avail? Because Kanye West jumping up on stage and taking the mic from Taylor Swift saying, you know, Beyonce deserved this was kind of a win. It got him in.
Yeah, it definitely
George
got
Bush
him,
hates black people. Kind of a win.
Yeah.
But now he has to embrace this persona of a psychopath.
Well,
Tupac.
He
was a thug. Tupac wasn't really a thug.
Right. I just got done reading the new Rick Ross book.
Which is why I also brought it up.
So at the end of that book, he kind of talked about Kanye and how he grew up with Kanye in the game. He known Kanye for 20 years. But he said once Kanye started acting crazy, he said, all right, I'm not about to mess with bro no more. Bro, right. out my mix right now. I'm not messing with bro. But bro's still bro, though.
Right.
So if bro called me and asked me to do something, I'm going to come and do it. But right now, I'm not rocking with your views. I'm not rocking with your interviews. I'm not rocking with nothing. So Kanye finally called him randomly and said, I need you to come out. So he came out. And he kind of figured out the method to Kanye's madness, though. He said, as he was sitting there listening to it, he was like, dude, this dude is doing all this stuff on purpose.
Right.
And persona.
And he will always make money. That's why he's a billionaire. He will always make money because he's always out here doing the craziest stuff, whether it's good publicity or bad publicity. He don't care. It's going to keep his name out there. And if that's going to help him sell his clothes, if that's going to help him get these deals, he's going to keep doing it. And he's a genius in that.
Right.
And I listened to him and I'm like, you're right. But he was like, but that's not me. I would never do that, though, because I couldn't hold myself accountable for the things like that, like just going off in these rants and then changing my mind afterwards, like I was just playing or.
Well, and it's priorities too, right? Like, so Kanye set his goals for what he wants and what people think of him or how he's perceived or respected or whatever, all of the things that happen are lower priorities for him, but someone else could have a different priority.
Yeah. It's just weird, though.
Which brings us back to the Kendrick Lamar video.
Right.
Because at some point, Kanye's craziness had an impact on his cultural
impact. His cultural impact.
And acceptance and tolerance.
People like, I can't stand Kanye.
I can't deal with this dude no more.
I'm one of them
You're
guys.
One of them,
I'm
which
just
is my
like,
point.
I cannot stand Kanye. I'm one of his beginning fans, though. Like, I started out with him. So I'm like, I was rooting for you all this time. And then you go and do this crazy on me? Like, just switch it out? Like, oh, man, you just disappointed me.
Jussie Smollett. Yeah. Right? He wanted to build his public persona. Mm-hmm. If I got to do it in a negative way, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. But okay, so gay is kind of being tolerated a little bit. Let me take it to the next level. I don't like Trump. I want gay people to get a little more attention. I'm going to make up a story about being attacked by Trump supporters because I was gay.
Yeah.
When in actuality, he paid two black men to quote unquote beat him up, and he got caught.
And at the end of the day, he got more famous though.
Yeah, but he got completely rejected.
He got rejected out of the business though. He did though.
He got rejected by the culture.
Yeah.
And then he took a black eye by the gay community.
Yeah. Yeah, he took.
So where do you go back to? So did Kanye.
Yeah.
Right? He was fine until he started flipping on the other side. Now he's Kim Kardashian, right? There's a black mark on him right now. Now he's the nutbag.
Yeah.
Right? Pete Davidson's looking at him going, this dude's nuts.
Yeah.
He don't deserve to be a father. He don't deserve to be around his kids. Kim should reject him. The culture should reject him. Society should reject him. And now that he's got this black mark, yeah, he's a billionaire. The money's done. That was already done. But now it's like, where do I go to be comfortable?
Yeah.
Where do I let my hair down at?
Mm.
It's kind of hard.
Yeah, because he said he's always laying on somebody's couch.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what he does.
Because you're not accepted anywhere anymore.
But you got over $1 billion, and you're just laying on people's couches
right.
with the people who you feel like understand.
Will accept you for who you are.
That goes back to prioritization, right?
Yeah.
You achieve your goal.
Yeah.
Is it everything that you...
Was it worth it?
Yeah. Right. I mean, I think mental illness is another factor in some
Absolutely.
Of this.
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
He's another one. Oh, well, wait a minute. You got caught with this teenage boy fetish, mm-hmm. and you want to blame it on being... No, that don't... The gay community ain't going to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
The movies ain't going to accept that. You know, Hollywood ain't going to... And this is people's way of trying to build this visibility.
Yeah.
I think the Johnny Depp situation is going to be similar.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, thinking fame, since we're talking about a lot of famous people... When Hollywood, and you know I'm not a good movie person, but when Hollywood was like old, big Hollywood,
right. They
managed their personas. The studios managed their personas.
Right.
I mean, there were all kinds of people who were gay, but they had, you know, they were partnered up with someone
so that
was hidden.
Right.
But people can't do that anymore. And so now everything's out there.
Right.
And people aren't allowed to have flaws. And I'm not saying every flaw. I don't think that if you are, trying to molest a child or something, that is right. But if you think about mental illness or other things, people aren't allowed to be flawed. Like, we expect celebrities to be perfect, right?
Yeah.
They can't be seen as a full human.
Right.
And I don't know.
It was easier before social media.
I agree.
Who you wanted to be and be secret about it.
Right.
But
right.
now with social media, it's like if you don't get down with the times, you're really not relevant.
But it's social media.
But relevant to whom? Like, I don't care what people think about me.
Right.
Unless you invent something or you're just part of something really, really big, that's the only way you can kind of like say, all right, I don't do social media. I just participate in big events and big things. And that's what makes me my money. But if your whole existence is social media and being there, it's a problem for your life.
Oh yeah, you're going.
Because if I don't see you, then something's wrong.
End.
You know what I'm saying? Then everybody's looking for you. Like, where you go? You ain't never on social media no more.
Well, and how do you stay relevant? Right?
And
what do you have to do next
relevant?
To be relevant?
By doing something stupid.
Right.
Stupid,
like slapping Chris Rock on stage.
Right.
Oh, that
make
me.
Because Will was well hidden. Like, we only really seen Will.
He got quiet
on TV. So it was like, yeah,
the culture. Hollywood song.
But Jada went and got her red carpet thing on. It was like, I'm doing this at the house, so if you hear, you might get seen. You know what I'm saying? Which made us actually see Will Smith a little bit more than we usually do. You know what I'm saying? In his regular life.
Right, but that's not the attention he wanted.
No, he definitely didn't want that.
He didn't want people to watch him get emasculated.
No.
Right.
He just wanted people to know he was still out there and relevant.
Yeah.
But go make a movie. Do what you do best. Go make a song.
I personally thought his role was like, all right, if I'm not going to be in the limelight, I'm going to put my son in the limelight.
Right.
And let
Pay
him
it
go
forward.
Ahead.
Yeah.
But then he was part of that they, him, he kind of clicked too, though. So it was like,
right,
all right, so I'm putting him out here, but he don't even identify himself.
He doesn't reflect what I'm trying to promote.
Yeah.
So how do I take the reins back?
Yeah.
How do I put Will back out front?
Yeah.
How do I stop people from talking bad about my son because they don't understand? I don't either, but yeah. I got to accept it for what it is. I mean, Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade went through the same.
Yeah.
Everybody's going through this at the same time going, crap.
Mm-hmm.
But these are older generations that are looking at this going, this might burn you 20, 25 years from now, especially if there's no real definitive clarity. There's no real... Yeah. Concrete position that you have. Right.
This might not be a thing.
Let me see what happens next. Right. Not that it may not be a thing down the line. You may choose different down the line.
Yeah.
I think right now, certain people, OJ, has come to accept the fact that I messed up.
Yeah.
But he still wants back in. Kanye have come to accept the fact maybe the red hat wasn't the best idea. Yeah. Maybe going after Kim Kardashian wasn't the best idea. How do I get back in?
Mm-hmm.
How do you take me back? And what Kendrick is saying in this song is, you don't give up on the culture for the wrong reasons and expect people to pretend like it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. You have to take some ownership. There has to be some level of accountability for the decisions that you made to get you to elevate you to the position that you're now at. And you have to accept the fact that if you stepped on certain hands on the way up the ladder, those people are still coming up the ladder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're going to still see you for the bruises that you put on their hands.
Yeah.
The culture is still going to recognize the black eye you gave it.
Yeah.
Lying about being, you know, attacked.
Yeah.
You know, slapping one of our heroes.
Yeah.
Right? Dismissing the entire culture. OJ, the only reason that Bronco ride took place is because he knew they weren't going to shoot him. Mm-hmm. Any other black guy?
Right.
They'd have killed him.
Right.
He wouldn't have even had that.
Rodney King,
ride.
They beat him in the streets. He didn't even get anybody else. But I'm not black. I'm OJ. And that's what he was saying. I do it for the culture to let them know what I look like in the bulletproof. He said it himself. I drive through L.A. in a bulletproof Rover.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no better than him. I have taken on the same personification, and I'm trying to let y'all know I didn't really go anywhere.
Yeah.
This isn't me leaving the culture. This is what the culture does to the celebrity.
Yeah. This is what I'm trying to elevate everybody else to.
And I recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it was one of his heart videos. Because this could have just been a song. No, this is personal for him.
Yeah.
Because if I let it go on too long, I'll be the next Nipsey.
Yeah.
And that's not what I'm asking for.
Mm-hmm.
Nipsey was on his way to do something. Nipsey had purpose. Nipsey wasn't the guy that Kanye is trying to be. He was just another celebrity. And in the world of social media, this is what celebrities are doing. Mm-hmm. So let me get ahead of this now.
Mm-hmm.
And that culture, that gang culture, that drug culture, it don't let you go. That's why Tupac's dead.
Yeah.
It ain't because he thought he was a gangster. It's because the streets, the culture, didn't tolerate him in that role.
Well, as we see it now, and not to get on some pop culture, but as we see it now, you see the Young Thug and Gunna situation with them going the RICO law and got caught up with them. Now, these are two very, very popular rappers as of now, you know what I'm saying? And for them to be involved with 28 other people, you know what I'm saying, in a case of murder, guns and drugs and all that. Right. I mean, dude, and it's crazy because I watched a video and this is one podcast with a guy named Rallo. I forgot what it's called. Million Dollar Worth of Game. That's what it's called.
Okay.
But every time he gets a celebrity on there that's kind of still in the game,
right?
He literally tells them, "You need to get out."
Right.
You don't stop your generational wealth because you want to stay in there.
Right.
He cried on there one time talking to Lil Durk. Mm. Everybody he talked to went to jail. He talked to Pooh Shiesty, he went to jail.
Right.
He talked to Young Thug and Gunner and YSL and them, told them about all that. They both in jail now.
Right.
He talked to King Von before he got shot and killed. Wow. And told him to get out of the whole situation. He died. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, he literally talked to a lot of people who literally ended up in these situations. So it's like, is he telling the future with these guys? Like, I'm sitting here telling you to get out this stuff, and y'all not doing it.
It's not the future. We've seen it. We saw it happen to OJ. Yeah. We saw it happen to so many. We technically saw it happen to Jordan. If it wasn't for Nike, Jordan would be another one.
Yeah.
His father was killed because of this gambling situation. Jordan assimilated to the other side of the fence.
Mm.
He just had a couple of things that kept him connected to the community. But depending on where you are in society, especially within our culture, Jordan is only acknowledged as being the greatest basketball player in the world.
Yeah.
That's it. He's done a lot more than that, but we don't respect him for that.
No.
You hear it all the time. LeBron's better than Jordan because Jordan never gave back. LeBron at least sent his kids to school. Jordan don't do none of that. We
Jordan
never hear Jordan.
Only makes money off of
for
us.
For Jordan. Right. For
you know what
Jordan.
I'm saying? Everything that he has done, but he built a brand that was so awesome in his athletic career. Right. To even actually watch it. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, like, and then to make the products, for him to deal with Nike and make these products that actually enhanced your skills. Because I've been I put that on everything. My first pair of Jordans,
right?
I put them on, I touched the rim. I never had did that. I literally touched the rim. And I was like, oh, these shoes really do the thing. I've been addicted to Jordans ever since. I've been buying them. Every sense, bro.
But he didn't do it for the culture.
But he didn't do it. He was doing it for the money. Of course, you want to make the best basketball shoe because you're the best player. So if you're going to put that shoe on in the game.
He wanted to make the best basketball shoe because he is the best player and he can therefore get the most
money. Exactly. He's a billionaire for it.
Right.
And so probably gambled off more money than anybody could ever think of.
So what does that mean to the audience?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Because his contribution is all self-deserved and not really nothing that he gave back and said. Now, I'm not saying that he never gave to no charities.
Right,
because
right.
as a man of that much money, I'm pretty sure you got to give a lot of it away just to get your taxes off. I know that's one of the things that they do. So I'm not saying he hasn't given to no charities, but a lot of the times I've heard a lot of stories where he doesn't, if you met him, he wouldn't even...
He won't even speak to you.
Speak to you, take a picture with you. I don't take pictures with dudes. I think Chameleonaire had a problem with him one time when he tried to get a picture with him. He said, no. Nah. Right. And then gradually took pictures with other people.
Right.
So, I mean, that attitude in itself, Jordan,
That's what I'm saying. Nobody's safe.
Yeah.
Not the highest of the high.
No.
Not the most popular. No. Nobody's safe. Not even the dead.
No.
How many new age rappers don't even know who Tupac is? Have zero respect for him at all, despite what he gave to the culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I cried when he died.
Mm-hmm. A whole lot of us did.
I remember where I was.
I sure do.
I cried when him and Biggie died.
So the flip to that, to this whole conversation, because the underlying message here is if the culture doesn't accept it, if the culture doesn't benefit from it, then the artist is subjecting himself to cancellation.
Yeah, cancellation.
Right? And some of those things that they're demanding these artists assimilate to are not necessarily even in the artist's best interest.
Right.
Right? But the flip side of that coin is, why do we give the culture control over the artist?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to give to you? I'm giving you my music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you my performance. Why isn't that enough for you to give me in return my compensation? Why do I also have to contribute to your charities? Why do I also have to rebuild your communities? Why is it my job to take my millions and spend it on you when you could just as easily sweep the street or repaint the abandoned building?
Mm.
To some extent, the artist is just as much victimized as they are beneficiaries.
Beneficiaries, yep. Yeah.
Where's the balance? Why don't we see that for what it is? I think about myself. There's been a lot of different things that I've attempted to do for the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Culture don't care.
No.
Culture isn't saying, because I'm not going to do it for the culture. I'm going to do it with the culture. I will put myself out there on your behalf. But I'm not going to give you the opportunity.
Right.
I'm going to give you the opportunity to benefit from the opportunity. Mm-hmm. But if you don't do that, then that's on you.
Right.
But just as fast, the culture will say, you ain't really helping nobody. Oh, because I'm not doing it for you. I'm not helping you. No, that's not how this works. There has to be accountability on both sides of the fence. Those asking for it have to be just as accountable as those that they're giving it to,
right. Mm-hmm.
And vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we create that balance? How do we accept our responsibility to hold ourselves accountable for what we expect out of these other people? You want me to call you they. Then you have to be proactive about identifying who you are and doing it properly, doing it, educating people, not assuming that they know because they listened to another interview. You come through the door. If you're that sensitive about your pronoun, you put it in the contract. Here, I'll do the interview. Please be sure to address me this way. Here's why. Oh, I really don't get that. Great. I'll be more than happy to have a conversation with you about it on the air.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get it, your listeners don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So let me educate all of y'all at the same time,
yeah,
from my perspective. And then the next person that comes through may have a different perspective. And if you really care, you'll ask us all. But to just assume, to just run with your perspective that I don't accept, well, don't expect me to come in here in a happy mood. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
I do. I do. I just assigned less meaning to that interview than you did, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Because again, it's a cultural thing.
Right.
And I'm not saying because you're not a part of the same culture, you don't get it. What I'm saying is it has.
Although that could be the case.
I mean,
I'm sure.
There's parts. Sure. There's elements of the cultural, the community impact that conversation never had, because trust me, I look at things different. 99% of the people listening didn't watch the interview.
Mm-hmm.
45% of them will go watch it. They won't take the same thing away from it that I did. But there's always, to me, there's always multiple layers. That's why, mm-hmm, I look at that Kendrick video and I see something. I see something very, very like intricate and, mm-hmm, profound. And a lot of people see it as well, but a lot of people don't. They just don't get it. And I'm like, there's messages in this that are going to be relevant 50 years from now. And if you take the time to understand it now, maybe we can make sure that it's not detrimental 50 years from now. It's, mm-hmm, just a conversation 50 years from now. But there's so many people who are just absorbing social media for its instantaneous reflection and saying, I like it, I don't like it. I accept it, I,
right,
reject it. I cancel it, I embrace it. We can't exist like that.
Right.
If we're not teaching each other, we're not learning from these differences, then we're just creating more hostility. And that's where we become a problem.
Yeah.
It's easy to be judgmental and mean,
absolutely,
and opinionated when you aren't interacting with someone face to face.
Oh, yeah. Always.
And, you know, I mean, I think it's the best thing that people can do is turn away from social media a lot and start talking to each other,
yeah,
and have empathy for each other. But not everyone's going to have empathy. But I think the more disconnected we become, and I don't think being on social media means you're connected. The more disconnected we are, the more difficult this will be.
Yeah. I think being on social media is definitely a disconnect. It's like seeing everybody, but really not knowing, like,
knowing them.
If you didn't know them, knowing them, and if you did know them, you haven't seen them in who knows how long years in person.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who they become. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you knew them at one point in time in your life, and you're like, all right, this is that person. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, if you was to meet them now, you'd be like, because I'm definitely not the same person I was back in the day. And if you see me now, you'd be like, you ain't the same Boosie I know. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right,
yeah, because I've evolved and did different things now. Like, I've been away from you for, what, 20 years? What are,
right,
we doing here? You're saying, like, you're not going to meet the same guy?
Right.
Not when I 20 years ago.
You hope not.
I'm hoping that. I do have friends that I know now that act the same way they act,
mm-hmm,
when they was 20 years ago. And those are the people that I kind of push myself away from.
Yeah. Right.
Because you don't want those people to be like, you still hanging in the neighborhood chilling and doing your same old thing. And maybe, and that's another thing, on Instagram and Facebook, it looks all good, though.
Right.
But if I know you, so I know your life every day, you know what I'm saying? So that's different.
Something ain't right here.
Something ain't right, you know what I'm saying? Like, dude, I see you on Instagram, and you look real, real good. I see you in real life, and there's so many problems, and you need to borrow some money in it. Right. What happened to all them racks you was just showing on?
Do it for the gram.
What did you do it?
Do it for the gram. But, I mean, thankfully, you know, I asked the question, what do we do? What do we do? Y'all both said it. Because the fact of the matter is, we talk about this, communication is the key. If we're not interacting as a species, then we're fantasizing as individuals. Mm-hmm. And as individuals, we'll never really get anywhere. You know, ultimately, these are conversations that people need to be comfortable having. Mm-hmm. They have to be comfortable getting uncomfortable.
That's getting uncomfortable.
Right? That's my line, right? But if you're not going to do that, then you're not going to progress.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to step outside of your circle, and not only step outside of your circle, but you got to kind of open the door and step outside of your circle. And you got to have windows to some extent. People have to understand the circle that you've been living in so that they don't offend it. Because if you walk out of your circle and complain about how somebody treats you because of what's going on in your circle, I didn't know.
Yeah.
You never brought that to my attention.
Right.
How's it my fault that I'm disrespecting you about something you kept to yourself? And you keep everything to yourself because you don't want people to really know that your circle really ain't all that circle.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some sharp edges here and there. But that's cool because so does mine.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm hiding my sharp edges from you and you're hiding yours from me and we don't acknowledge that these things exist, well, then we're just kind of floating. We're not getting anywhere.
Yep. It has to go both ways. It can't just be...
It has to go both ways.
Empathy in one direction. It has to be open to understand the other person's perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
And there has to be tolerances. And there has to be some patience.
Right.
And there has to be some...
And there has to be long periods of discomfort.
Right.
Like kind of sitting in your discomfort and saying, I don't get this, but...
Yeah, we've all heard stories of people coming together and be like, at first I didn't like this guy.
Right.
Right.
And all of a sudden it was like... It clicked, and we just was clicked.
Right.
And it was,
right.
We've been together ever since. Like,
right.
Wow. Only because they communicated, though.
Right.
Because if it wasn't no communication, that wouldn't have happened. He would have just stayed not liking him, and y'all just would have been like, all right, I'm cool. I don't. But it took somebody to have a conversation.
Right.
Before they was like, we figured out we got a lot of things in common.
That's right. So that's the show. I mean, that's the ending that I wanted us to get to, was a determination to be more inclusive in our conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to make an hourly effort to do that, because we can't expect people to volunteer their vulnerability. They're not going to do it. But if they can understand the value of their vulnerability and how it may help to kind of subside some of their discomfort, because now they have people who don't judge them for being different, or don't judge them for making mistakes, but understand the environment in which that mistake was made and say, oh, okay, I get it. You know, I'm not perfect either.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you've kind of let me in on that, maybe I can let you in on this. And right. It's like, oh, shit.
Suddenly those things that you felt like you had to hide, they're less scary.
It's like,
right?
That's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
I thought people were going to, you know, burn me at the stake for that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But here I come to find out, the guy two doors down has the exact same situation.
Right.
I never would have known that.
That's right.
Because he didn't put that on social media.
Yeah.
Right.
And the political sign in his front yard made me think something completely different.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of Trump supporters with a lot of liberal beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of liberals with a lot of conservative ideologies.
Yeah.
But when you're stuck on red and blue and you don't know what that really means, you don't know what the individual behind that really stands for, you just cancel them.
Well, if you're picking a side, you're picking a side.
Yeah,
right.
You know?
Literally.
Right. It's like,
you're preparing
like,
for battle.
I'm voting for him for this reason. No, you can't vote for him for just one reason. You got to vote for him for the whole thing. And he's not the whole thing.
Right. And no one, there will never be a candidate, since we're talking about elections, who will be perfect for exactly what I want. The only person who's going to do that is probably me.
You just pick the biggest issue.
And then you have to make so many compromises anyway. I mean, again, we expect perfection when it's impossible.
Yeah. Well, I can
and it's easier to like point your finger at someone who's right. messing up because then you don't have to think about what you're doing. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, you didn't. I was interrupting you.
Well, go ahead, sir.
Well, I was just going to say, I know for a fact that I would be, in my opinion, the perfect political candidate. Mm.
I think you would, too. I think you,
in my opinion,
I'm
not voting for the president.
Right.
Yeah. We are.
Yeah.
So I have to be the perfect candidate for us.
That's right.
And I will never be that.
Right. Yeah.
So you like you say, you accept some imperfections in the process
right.
of choosing.
I mean, it's the same as friends and partners and all of that. No
right.
one is perfect.
No one is perfect.
Right. And sometimes those flaws or differences is what makes that person like really wonderful or unique or interesting.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
and 20 years from now, if I look back at this person and say, "Who you is the wrong candidate, bro," I can say that about myself.
Man.
20 years ago from now, we're going to look back on this podcast and be like,
"Yeah, I wonder where he started."
Right.
I wonder where that conversation, because I'm sure 20 years from now, I'm going to be having the exact same conversation. Like, God damn it, you young bastards didn't get the message 20 years ago. Right.
So the less social media, but don't stop listening to podcasts, particularly this one, right? That's the
sure.
that's the advice, oh, yeah. right?
That's the marketer. Yeah. You hear it coming back
out. I have to wrap it up.
Back to work.
Yeah. My brain, it's just, that's how it's wired.
No, I mean, again, this isn't about dismissing anything.
Right.
Listen to all of them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know? I think that podcasts actually give you a depth that you don't
I mean, the conversation is always good. Opens up your mind to something different. Right. You might have not thought of it that way, or you might not never heard it. And then you'd be like, oh.
And it's less threatening, right? Because it's not someone standing there talking to you, and it's private.
You're listening whether you agree or you disagree.
Right.
And
it's not just a post on
So that's how you get that off. But it's the visuals of it that I really don't, you know what I'm saying, chime into. Because the visuals, once you start giving people visuals and those negative images become blatant, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think I like that person now. You know what I'm saying? I might have liked her singing, or I might have liked her podcast or his podcast, but his personality stinks.
Right.
So
it kills it for
no.
Him.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm it's done. A no for me.
Right. Canceled.
Canceled on my end.
But, you know, it's funny you say that, because I was actually weighing potentially doing this live, because there are platforms that will allow me to have live call-in participation.
Oh, yeah.
And to your point, podcasting kind of gives you the opportunity to absorb some of this information.
Mm-hmm.
I think, because we love what you think, right? I personally believe that in the moment, that reaction, that response to what is being heard isn't always the most thought out way of going about it. That's why for most podcasts, there's a lot of effort that go into building these shows, constructing the conversation, because we know that there's going to be certain conversation pieces or certain comments made that really need to be evaluated and not just heard. And if we don't give you enough substance to really embrace and absorb and digest the point that was just made, then man, you could just turn people off without really doing nothing. So you know, on the radio, I mean, we listen to radio. We listen to people call into shows all the time. It's like, oh, my God, you know, I can't believe he just said that. And he might or she might listen to that and go, oh, crap, that's not how I wanted that to come out. But it's too late, you know, and I don't ever want to put people in that position. I don't ever want people to feel like, oh, can you take that? I'm sorry, it was a live broadcast. It's out there now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why I prefer podcasting now over broadcasting, because it really does give you that element of.
Yeah. Sometimes we just talking. It might not have been well thought out talking, but it was talking.
And right.
You say the wrong thing one time, and all of a sudden you're canceled. Like,
right. Right.
But these are the conversations that you're encouraging people to have, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because we came at this with a level of vulnerability and uncertainty and didn't all agree. But I think this is modeling. Yeah.
I started poking.
Yeah.
Poking.
I mean, it's cool. I mean, on these podcasts, there's an editing process.
So right. That's where
if somebody say they don't want to be heard like that, I can take it out.
Right.
But live, you can't get that off. And sometimes the controversy is your thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of podcasters out here. Just controversy is right. their thing. You know right. what I'm saying? I want to be, I want people to feel like right. they're going to cancel me. But I'm so well spoken and know how to get around things that you can't cancel me.
Right. Yeah, I'm not that guy.
You is that guy. If you was to say something wrong, Arthur, I'll put that on everything. You probably would get, you would probably talk everybody out of not liking you. You got it. You know how to kind of talk out of that, talk your way up out of that. Like,
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but I appreciate you for going that far.
I'm just saying, though. I just, you got the gift of gab, brother. I'm just telling you.
I appreciate that. I mean, selling, communication, it's all one and the same thing.
Yeah, I know.
So is bullshitting.
Yeah.
So is manipulation.
Yeah.
You know, it's all the same thing. And I try mm-hmm. to be, I try to be me. Thoroughly, I want the same person you walk into this office and see to be the same person you listening to on this podcast.
Yeah,
and I think to me that's my gift.
Yeah,
like I know him. I know him to the extent that he makes me aware of who he is, and in the capacity that I'm utilizing him for one thing or another, I know what I'm getting. That's yeah. what this podcast. Like I told you a long time ago, I want people to know who they're dealing with if they come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the easiest way to do it. This is the easiest way to put myself out there.
Yeah.
Well, it's your skill. It's your power. Yeah. And are you going to use your power for good or evil, right?
Yeah.
So I think someone
right.
can be a very skilled communicator, and you can either bring that to lift people up and show them a different way, or you can manipulate the hell out of people.
Yeah.
And this one person can do that's, both things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can be president. Or you can start an insurgency.
Depending on your mood.
Depending on your mood. So thank you for coming in. I
hey,
appreciate
you.
You doing it.
It's good seeing you guys.
Yes.
Now we get to go back to the meeting.
Look, it's meeting time now, right?
Right.
Try to get out before the sun goes down. But I do appreciate you coming in.
Thank
I appreciate you participating.
For me.
Thanks for doing it. And I appreciate you guys for listening. This is AG's Convos. And we out.
AG's Convos, we gon' show you how the world goes. AG's Convos, we gon' show you how the world goes.